Was happening, my fellow ballers? Welcome back to another episode of the Ballin' with Tyler Todd podcast slash show. And today we have a little MLB roundup action, and also going to talk about the MVP race right now in baseball, because even though it's so early in the season, who doesn't want to talk about the best players, obviously currently in this moment? And also we'll do a little touch up on some NBA playoff action right now. But starting off, baseball again has just been it's been really exciting this year. A lot of exciting players, a lot of exciting games, but really a lot of the teams expected to be good have been doing that this year. So, for instance, the New York Mets, first National League team and the second one of the majors after the Yankees in the American League to reach 22 victories. Yeah, so the Mets are having a really good season. The Astros have won 10 straight. The Yankees had like a 7-run eighth inning last night, beat the White Sox. They got over 20 wins. They're absolutely crazy. And then the Reds, who started 3-22, have won 5 of their last 7. So a lot of random news storylines, which is pretty crazy. But really the biggest one to me, I think, aside from like this past week, is Reed Detmers of the Los Angeles Angels, 22 years old, and threw a no-hitter, which is literally insane. A 22-year-old rookie. It was the craziest thing ever. But let me look up his name real quick. Yeah, Reed Detmers. Reed Detmers. That's his name. So yeah, throws a complete game no hitter, 9 innings, and in that game as well, because the Angels were absolutely just shelling the Rays during that game. They had Brett Phillips for the Tampa Bay Rays come in and pitch. For anybody who doesn't know who Brett Phillips is, he is a center fielder. He does not pitch. So what happens is in baseball, what will happen is a manager will bring in a position player so they don't waste a bullpen arm or another pitcher, and just let them go up there and pitch because they don't want to waste the arms and keep the arms fresh. And it's a blowout. There was no way they were coming back anyway. So Brett Phillips comes up and surrenders a bomb to Mike Trout. Absolute moonshot to center field. And then Anthony Rendon comes up right after, and Rendon is a pure right-handed hitter, does not hit from the left side. And Rendon thought, hey, you know, let's make it a little interesting. Rendon bats from the left side and absolutely cranks a bomb off Phillips, left-handed. It's the first left-handed at-bat he's ever taken in his entire career of baseball. He is 1-for-1, so he's batting 1,000 from the left-hand side with a home run. And they also got a no-hitter in that game. And Reed Detmers is 22 years old. Like, seriously, an absolutely incredible game. And Angels, man, seriously are one of the more exciting teams in the league. Taylor Ward, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Noah Syndergaard. I mean, oh my gosh, Jared Walsh. They have a bunch of contributors, a bunch of guys that are exciting. But speaking of Taylor Ward, because everyone thinks that really the Angels, all the superpower comes from Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. That's not entirely true. So this year, Taylor Ward, dude, pretty much, I mean, I've never heard of him until now. But this year so far, he has 79 at-bats, 29 hits, 7 home runs, a .367 batting average, 21 runs scored, 17 RBIs, 1 stolen base, an OBP of .490, a slugging of .709, and an OPS over 1, 1.199, and an OPS plus of .254. The guy's just having an absolutely stellar year, and it makes sense because the Angels seriously are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. But he's actually kind of in consideration right now for the MVP race, which is what we're segueing into next. But as of right now, for the American League MVP race and the National League MVP race, we have five players right now that are at the obviously top 5 for each position. So many of the early candidates for AL MVP obviously shouldn't come as a surprise. Mike Trout hit the longest home run in 2022, and he is playing a huge role in Los Angeles as being one of the top teams thus far. There's some tight competition with Jose Ramirez and Aaron Judge, and like I just mentioned, Taylor Ward, biggest surprise among the early MVP candidates, a .440 batting average. So obviously that was from previously what I just mentioned. On balls in play, in a career high 26.1% home run to fly ball rate are huge signs that Ward's production will come down, but doesn't matter. He's at least deserves recognition for his hot start. Yeah, pretty crazy, dude. So if we're doing just those four, not five, four. So as of right now in the AL MVP race, Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians is in first with a slash of .311, 410 and 631, and then an OPS of 0.041, 7 home runs, 30 RBIs. Yeah, that's really impressive. And Mike Trout in second in the race at 307, a slash of 307, 430 and 625, and then an OPS of 1.055, 6 home runs and 13 RBIs. Aaron Judge at third, a slash of 283, 349, 616, and an OPS of 965 to go with 9 home runs and 19 RBIs. And then Taylor Ward, who I just mentioned, a slash of 364, 490, 675, and an OPS of 1.165, 6 home runs, and 15 RBIs. So I read his previous stats from Baseball Stats Reference. It sometimes is always like weird from like an article. So it's like an article and where I'm reading this from right now, his stats. So sometimes it's like a little different, but it's very generally the same thing. And then the National League right now, We got some good play for my boy Manny Machado. So as for the NL MVP race, Manny Machado is returning to elite form and providing a huge spark for San Diego at a time when Fernando Tatis Jr. is sidelined. We still don't know when he's going to be back. Right behind him, Nolan Arenado is making a strong case that he should be taking home an MLB MVP award. Juan Soto comes in at third because of his absurd walk rate, 17.9%, which is remarkable in this era. Yes, it is, because everyone swings for the fences and doesn't know how to take an at-bat. So pretty crazy to see them standing at where they are. But breaking down the list, Manny Machado in first with a slash of 385, 460, and 642 with an OPS of 1.103, 7 home runs and 21 RBIs. Nolan Arenado with a slash of 330, 400, 621, and an OPS of 1.021, 7 home runs and 23 RBIs. Juan Soto, a slash of 257, 396, 468, and an OPS of 863, with 6 home runs and 24 RBIs. And then Freddie Freeman at fourth. Why did you have to go to LA? You just make everything miserable. A slash of 323, 400, 525, and an OPS of 925 to go along with 3 home runs and 13 RBIs. So yeah, those are pretty much who's pretty much leading the race right now. But the projected odds of who's going to win it for the American League, I'll just do the top five. We have Shohei Ohtani again with plus 350 odds, Mike Trout plus 400, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. plus 500, Luis Robert plus 1,800, and Aaron Judge plus 2,000. So that is the top five as of right now for the odds to win. And this is the funny thing. So about the National League MVP odds, Machado's not even in any consideration of any of it. So Juan Soto is first with plus 300, Ronald Acuna Jr. with plus 700, Bryce Harper plus 900, Mookie Betts plus 1,000, and then Freddie Freeman plus 1,200. So it's pretty funny. I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting seeing that he's leading the current race, but they don't project him to win the entire thing. So I don't know. Baseball's kind of weird like that, but there you have it. That's really what I wanted to talk about for baseball. Really, it's been an exciting week. Obviously, the Angels are very hot. Astros won 10 in a row. The Yankees are one of the better teams in baseball at the moment. The Mets, 22 wins. The Dodgers are still really good. The Dodgers actually just announced, too, that they're moving Kershaw to the IL with, like, a right elbow inflammation or something. Here, let me. It was something like that. I literally saw it right before I started talking. Yeah, injured list with right SI joint inflammation. So that's sad because even though I don't like the Dodgers, he is an amazing pitcher. But I'm moving on to basketball. Obviously, we are in the heat of the playoffs right now. The Mavericks absolutely smoked the Phoenix Suns last night after the Suns smoked them previously in Game 5. Like 110-80, it was a huge blow. And then last night they lost 113-86. So the final game of the series comes home to Phoenix. Let's rally the valley. Literally, this game is massive. And seriously, I think Phoenix is going to win the game, but they need more out of Booker, Chris Paul, and some of the contributors like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Like 100%. Because last night we had Mikal Bridges play for 31 minutes. He scored 7 points. Devin Booker scored 19. Chris Paul scored 13. And then DeAndre Ayton was the leading scorer with 21. Okay, so like, Booker can't have that. Like, we need to have him drop at least 30. Like, for them, the Suns to be successful, we have the contributors, but Chris Paul and Devin Booker need to score the ball at a very efficient rate. And if they don't do that, then they're not going to win. And in a surprising fashion, the Miami Heat beat the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday and won the series. They're moving on to take on either the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks. Truthfully, I think it's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks who play game 6 today at 4:30. I seriously think the series is going to be over because they're playing it at Milwaukee today and they have a 3-2 lead. I just think truly no one can stop Giannis. Like, I don't really care what anyone has on their team. Like, lengthwise, you really can only slow him down. That's really what it is. And just the Bucks are, they're just more put together than the Celtics are. And then we also have the Grizzlies and the Warriors today. Grizzlies going to Golden State, down 2-3 in the series without Ja for the rest of the playoffs. They have played phenomenal without Ja in the starting lineup, though, or just the lineup in general. They were 20-5 without him in the regular season this year. So I don't know how to feel. You are going to a hostile arena in Golden State, and you're playing, I don't know, you're playing Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson in an elimination game in Golden State. I just don't know if Memphis really has the star power to slow them down. So I don't know, but truthfully, in NBA, in the playoffs, I would love to see a Suns-Bucks rematch again, and I would love to see the Suns just win a title and then don't even worry about it forever, because literally the championship window for the Suns is right now. It's not going to be any more time because Chris Paul is already up there in age. Once he's gone, it's going to be even more difficult to have a really good starting point guard like him to come in and have that same production that he did if he decides to leave or just retire in general and leave the game. So the Suns really need to hunker down this game 7 tomorrow, and they really need to figure out what kind of team they are, because this is the time to win. As for the Grizzlies and the Warriors, I truthfully don't care who wins that series. Because whoever wins that series, no one's going to beat Phoenix, in my opinion. Even though Phoenix is having a hard time with Dallas, I seriously think Phoenix is the best team in the Western Conference. Grizzlies will give them some fits, which I totally agree if they do win, and the Warriors will also give them trouble as well, but the Suns are the most complete team in the Western Conference, in my opinion. And for the Eastern Conference, like I already mentioned, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Celtics aren't going to beat them in the Heat. The Heat of the Mr. Small Ball team, okay? So I just really don't think they have the right formula to beat Milwaukee. But again, my projection, Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks, NBA Finals, and I'm going to say at least 6 games in that series. There's no way it's going 4. There's going to be no sweep. There's going to be no 5 games. No way at least one team's like, you're just going to have one game. There's going to be back and forth. So I'm saying 6 or 7 games. A full 7-game series for the finals would be absolutely incredible. So, yeah, come on, Phoenix. That would be really awesome to see you guys pull it off, because they're a very likable team, and I live here. So I'm kind of, you know, half the root for them, and like I am excited for them. So, Phoenix, let's go win a championship. And then my Diamondbacks, actually not having a bad year this year. Started off kind of slow, but hey, they're over 500 in a very good division. Actually, I'm not even going to say arguably the best division in baseball, the best division in baseball. Yeah, they're 17 and 15. It's not that bad. That actually is, that could be first place in some divisions in the American League and the National League. So for who we have on the team, for the pitching staff obviously is incredible, but other than that, we have some solid contributors. We just brought up Alec Thomas, which is super rad. Now, Dalton Varsho can catch full-time because Herrera and Carson Kelly really just aren't what we need at the catching position right now. Varsho can play center field and he can catch. He seriously is a stud. He can hit for power. He can hit for contact. He's fast, and he's just athletic. So I'm glad that they're kind of piecing together the puzzle, seeing what works. We have Cooper Hummel, decent DH. I don't know where Jake McCarthy went, but we had him at one point. Geraldo Perdomo, just waiting for his bat to heat up, but he's very good defensively. Nick Ahmed, obviously just stud at shortstop. His bat's, you know, when the guys get older, bat kind of dips down, but he's a very solid, you know, he can play every day, but if not, he can take a couple days off and be okay. So I like the makeup of the Diamondbacks. Do I think they're a playoff team this year? I'm not entirely sure. If they are, it's wild card at best, and maybe that's even pushing it, but really it would be awesome because obviously I work for them and it would be so cool to see them reach the playoffs in some facet. So, but anyway, thank you all for checking in on another episode of Ballin' with Tyler Todd. I will see you next Friday at 5 p.m. Peace.